Hello and welcome to this 58th episode of Through the Aftermath. I am your host, Sean, and today I have a very special co-host. His name is Mash. How you doing, Mash?
I'm pretty good, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good. Jonathan couldn't join us. There's something about he wanted to go on location to Boston. Something about, I don't know, Bethesda, Boston ruins, I don't know, maybe Fallout 4?
I don't understand. What's Fallout 4?
Oh, now you're playing the part of Jonathan.
Is that the part?
That's the shtick, is we don't know. We act like we don't know what Fallout is, but
I'm not sure how that could be possible, because all around me, even at work, and I work at the stuffiest place, people are losing their minds over this game. So,
but the real fans aren't even at work today. They're actually,
well, you make a great point, I definitely admonished some of the coworkers who claimed to me that they were true gamers, and they are not. Yeah. True gamers. They were working. They were trying to keep the lights on.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, a gamer doesn't do that, right?
No. No, they play through the darkness.
Through the aftermath. What? No. Fallout 4 is out. We're recording this on the 10th, and it released today, well, last night. And Jonathan, I think on his Steam profile, it said he has, 64 hours played so far in a day. I don't know how that's possible, but... So yeah, he actually emailed me, and he said, he's kind of like, well, our topic is, we're going to talk about the 100, which I'll talk about in a second. But I said, you want to come on and talk about the 100? And he's like, I've never seen it really. And I'm going to get back to Fallout 4. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So like I said, we're going to talk about the 100, because last episode I gave a little synopsis of the 100, if you can call it that, right? Aiken and Jonathan were on, and they were asking what it was. They said that they never saw it before. So I gave a kind of a brief thing, and I must have been on drugs. I don't know what was going on. And, apparently I said some things that were just out of left field. And Mash and I have known each other for a long time. So Mash kind of called me out on it, and he's like, what were you smoking? What's going on? And, so I said, you know what? I think it would be a good idea for us to get on here. And Mash has seen the show and loves it. And you could talk more, more of an expert. You can have more expertise on talking about the show. Because I saw the first season. My wife and I actually watched it, and it's one of those things where, I'm old now. I'm 40 years old now. So when I try to watch something at 9 o'clock at night, I pretty much go to sleep. Has that ever happened to you?
I go to bed at 8. So no, that never happens to me.
You never make it to 9.
I don't make it to 9.
So, so we would watch it here and there, and it's, I don't know. Toward the end of the second season, I pretty much stopped paying attention, but I figured this would be a timely time to talk about this too, because season 2 just came out on Netflix last month. So I think that would be cool. Like if someone's never seen the 100 before, then what I want to do in the show is basically talk about it, and there are going to be spoilers, so be ready for that. But it might be something where, maybe you hear us talking about it, and then you say, hey, that sounds like a show I might be interested in.
Well, we can even kind of, you can really talk about it without doing a lot of spoilers, because the great thing about it is it takes pieces from a lot of different post-apocalyptic subgenres and kind of mashes them together. Like anybody who watches the show is, and paying attention, they're going to start seeing different themes and different pieces from other movies they may have seen. But of course, it's in a different context. And they kind of put it together a little bit more artfully, I think. And before we even start, I just want to say that never in a million years, if you would have told me, Sean Schuster, 10 years ago, that I would be sitting here talking about and liking a show aired on CW, I would be calling you a big fat liar.
Was the CW even around 10 years ago? I don't.
Well, some form of it. It was like the WB or UPN or something like that. WWWB, you know, the frog.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there was nothing good on the... Well, I mean, you could argue what Smallville, right? On the WB. So anything else, even the stuff that was supposed to be cool, and I'm probably going to lose some people here, but Supernatural.
Yeah.
It's just a terrible, terrible show. And I'm sure there's people out there who really like it. And to be honest, there's some people who just like the Supernatural in general and are just hungry to see stuff. So good on them for getting their own show with beautiful people.
I'm kind of like that with post-apocalyptic. Stuff, yeah. You know, if there's anything even remotely, you know, it's just like if the smallest, I mean, even apocalyptic, you know, the Earth is...
Yeah.
Ending at that moment of the filming, then it's right. Like, you know, I'll watch that.
Or well, I think there's a lot of us from that. Like,
yeah,
I'm the same age as you, and a lot of the people from our generation that enjoy sci-fi and fantasy, we're very forgiving. You know what I mean? We didn't grow up having like these things like Lord of the Rings, coming out and just blowing the doors open for this entire genre of movies to become successful and Harry Potter coming out. We didn't have all that. We had Star Wars, right? But not much came out with that. Just a lot of really poorly produced movies that no one could honestly say were good quality movies. And
see, I don't know. I would kind of argue that.
Well, you probably could.
I mean, Mad Max, Indiana Jones, you know, all the Star Wars. Incredible.
Well, Indiana Jones isn't exactly a sci-fi or fantasy. It's more you can imagine that it actually happened, except for the magic. You know what I mean? But I like I don't even consider E.T. all that kind of sci-fi like that. I would really enjoy watching. And again, I'm just gonna destroy your entire listener base with these.
Goodbye, everyone.
With these claims that E.T. really wasn't a good movie, or it wasn't a good video game.
That's a whole different.
I brought them all back. But
they're like, oh yeah.
But yeah, I think we accept a lot. Definitely, people from our generation accept a lot as far as shows. And now that TV is just so amazing now, right?
Yeah,
like it. No one has an excuse to have a terrible TV series. Just more and more stuff is coming out that are just absolute hits that kind of appeal to the things we wanted to be good when we were younger.
Yeah, and then Netflix. I mean,
yeah,
it just made it 100 times worse.
Well, for our livelihood, I guess.
Yeah. Worse/better.
Right. I don't think I did anything in my lawn this whole summer just because I'm like, well, I got to watch that thing on Netflix. All 23 episodes came out all at once. I got to watch it.
Yep. So, this show, now actually it's funny because I looked on the wiki page and it says that it's pronounced The Hundred. And I've always said The 100. I guess it's preference, you know, whatever you want to do. But, I can't say The Hundred. It just sounds funny. How do we want to talk about this? You want to talk about like, kind of front to back what it's all about, or
you could kind of do it in cuts, right? Because it kind of start like talk about like what the beginning is like, because all post-apocalyptic stories start with, well, how did we get here, right? The interesting thing about The Hundred is you don't have a really good sense of what the time is, like what year it might be. Mm-hmm. All you know is that it's 97 years from when this happened.
Yeah. The end of the world or the end of the Earth. Yeah.
Right. And in this case, it happened to be a nuclear war. Mm-hmm. And what happened was people kind of knew in advance. Obviously these people were, in some way privileged. So everybody from different countries just jumped on to like these space stations and launched into space. And I guess as time went on, things got kind of hard, and they couldn't live properly in these separate modules. So they kind of like Legoed them together, all the ones that launched, and they called it the Ark. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where you are whenever you shoot 97 years in the future. And it's I think the 97 years is kind of important because you can assume in 97 years all the people who originally launched are dead. They're gone. Their children are either gone or they're pretty old. Mm-hmm. And then you have, it's kind of right in the perfect spot to have like this cohort of teenagers, right?
Yeah.
Or young adults. And that's kind of where you're at whenever you jump into the series. So you get there, right? And it's kind of an assumption that nobody survived on Earth. Everybody's dead. That's why these people launched into space. Now, in 100 years, resources have run thin, and they've had to take various steps to make sure that the human race survives. Now, of course, you probably already see where this is going. What would the human race do to maintain the human race, to keep the human race going, right?
Yeah.
Presumably some pretty awful stuff.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you look at. Like, you have this militaristic society where everybody kind of gets placed into like these kind of like academic and, like vocational little holes, you know, and they're still learning about science and medicine, and they're even learning about what's called earth science. So there's an assumption that they're all going to go back, right? Whenever the Earth gets ready. So to keep the populace controlled, you can only have one kid. And the penalty for having more than one kid is death, right? So basically, you've decided to have two kids. Well, that second kid is going to take your place. You're going to get shot out the airlock. Like, they don't do anything uncivilized, they'll shoot you out the airlock.
Yeah. That's funny, like their death penalty. It's, what they call it, floating or something?
Yeah. You get floated. Sounds nice.
Yeah. Oh, floating.
We all float down here. Now you have nightmares of clowns and stuff from it. But on top of that, like, All crimes have the penalty of death. You know, if you get caught stealing supplies, you get floated. If you use air, like you misuse air, you get floated, stuff like that. So at that point in time, it's a very fascist society. They still vote for people. They have a chancellor that they vote for. So there's this ongoing theme like that. There was a chancellor before, and maybe times were better. So now there's a political theme, and you get to see like societies start to the society form and become, I don't know, more. It's really hard to say it, because what usually solidifies a society is the idea of the other, right? Mm-hmm. Some enemy, somebody that you can point at and go, we're different from them. We should probably stay together to protect each other. They don't have that in space.
Yeah.
You know, and all they have is this desire, this primal urge to just keep going and then hopefully drop down on Earth. So the question is, what the heck is the 100? And the 100 is a bunch of teenagers that are in jail, right? And they get in jail for...
Yeah, because they won't float people under the age of 18.
So right. It doesn't make sense to them, because these are children. They're going to become adults, and it's going to help keep the human race going, right?
Yeah.
So they have these 100 kids. Well, I guess they've decided because of further problems with resources, they're going to just shoot these kids down on Earth, see what happens. So they slap collars on them, right, or bracelets, and like this is to help monitor them, you know, their vitals and keep track of them and stuff. And they say, okay, we're going to stuff you all into a ship. We're going to put you down right about where Washington, D.C. is, in Virginia. And you need to look for this Mount Weather. This is like an emergency place, like where they would have like stuffed full of supplies and things. So these kids would have a chance to survive. And presumably the whole point of this is that the kids go down and they report back up to the Ark, you know, that everything's fine, or the kids die, you know, and no big loss. They've just freed up a whole bunch of resources for the non-criminals.
Yeah.
Never mind the fact that as you're kind of following this story, there's all kinds of corruption going on because, you know, when there's no one to hate, you just start hating yourselves.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's tons of themes, like social themes, just coursing through this show. And again, shocking to me, being being on the CW, just blew my mind, because the first thing I saw was a bunch of teenagers. They land on this thing and they all just start doing teenager things.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I'm thinking like they're doing CW things. You know,
yeah.
They're just like, there's all this drama and, you know, like they're getting into fights.
He stole my boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And things occur that you kind of expect, like little factions and cliques get separated out, and it kind of becomes like, what's that story with Piggy and,
Lord of the Flies.
Thank you. It's like a Lord of the Flies thing. And, so that's kind of expected. And to be honest with you, like at first I was just like, you know, this is going to be annoying and I'm just going to hate everybody.
Yeah.
And then I kind of came to the conclusion, like just kind of thinking about, you know, what I was like as a teenager or just viewing other teenagers. I'm like, oh crap, this is exactly what would happen when you put teenagers into an adult situation.
Yeah.
They're not geared for that. You know what I mean? They haven't dealt with the agony of defeat that kind of gives adults humility, presuming they did lose at some point. So they're just like, they just go wild, like nothing bad could possibly happen. But anyway, so they're on there and you see all this happen, and then you discover that there are people down there, right? And these are the grounders, and they've had 97 years to create their own society, develop their own mythology. And what's interesting is, like, in contrast to the they called them the sky people, or the people on the Ark, they don't have like these these vocations, these sciences to cling to, or this feeling that they're going to go home. These people are already home, right? But they're trying to survive because there's all kinds of warfare. They're dealing with people who grew up in distinct areas, so they have their others, right? So they have these people that they can hate. They can protect each other from the they have glue for each one of their little micro societies.
Yeah.
So the kids drop down into that. Now they have somebody to hate. So it's really kind of like seeing a world that never had that, these kids experience somebody from another society. It's like raw diplomacy and warfare. And it's and when you let yourself kind of like look past all the silliness of them being kids, you start seeing like all these really neat themes kind of emerge.
Yeah.
So they have their little back and forth, and eventually There gets to be more drama up on the arc. And at some point, and this kind of gets into more broader theme, and this is where I wouldn't want to really spoil everything, but to tell you what I would want to at least convey is that this show actually deals with really, really hard, tough, brutal situations, but deals with it kind of in a sensitive manner. Like in a lot of shows we watch, and I enjoy them, action flicks, the protagonist goes through and just wipes out entire villages of bad people. I'm using air quotes violently. And you're just supposed to accept it. He walks through, you know, like in slow-mo, throws the match behind him, boom, things explode, and just bodies fly everywhere. And he walks away, and you never think about the bodies ever again.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this show is that that stuff still kind of happens, but it's you've already started feeling that the victims aren't bad, first off. And when it does happen, it's like they make you stay with it. They force you to face it head on. And the thing I wanted, like the scene that kind of really turned me for the show is back up on the arc, they had come up with this idea that they needed to get something fixed in a certain amount of time, right? And if they got it done in that amount of time, they may get another, like, 9 months or something like that, right? They, like, fixed some oxygen doohickey, but it was going to take 3 months to fix it. However, to do it in that amount of time, 300 people had to get floated.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So
I was going to say that same thing. That was a very powerful scene.
Oh, I didn't know what to – it was like watching Schindler's List. You know, like, never been in the theater where nobody said a word, walking in, like during the whole thing, and then walking out, like, everybody just – like, you could imagine the scene in black and white. Yeah. That's how just, like, just disturbing it was. And that's what that scene was, like, where – and it – The catalyst to that was some other drama where the main character, Clark, her dad was actually betrayed by her mother because he was going to tell about something. And to tell that would have broke up the society and made it revolt or something like that. So he never did. They showed his video, which was this heartrending story about like how much he cared for the society up on the arc, and then like 300 people just like they to save their children, they all just volunteered to go into this room, get cut off, and have their air just sucked out the you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was insane. So you just got to, they just pretty much like they just meandered around this room, the cameras I mean, and just you just get to watch all these people die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they didn't do it in a crass way. That shocked the hell out of me. I was just like, I can't not like this show now because it managed to deal with this awful, awful, all you could call it is like a form of genocide. Well, not genocide. It was more like euthanasia in a sense. Yeah. And dealt with it in a very tender and sensitive manner.
Yeah, I mean, any other show would have taken that situation, which has happened in tons of shows.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, "Oh, what are we going to do? We have to, choose A or B, and B will be to sacrifice all these people." And then something always turns out to where they don't actually have to do it. And it's like that's the big surprise. Well, in this, the big surprise was they actually did it. They actually killed those people.
Yeah, that blew my mind. Like it was the Sophie's choice. Like, but of 300 people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Yeah, and that actually happens multiple times.
Yeah.
In this show. It doesn't just happen once. They get the opportunity to like just challenge your morality. And you get it's never black and white. It's always like this creepy gray that you have to play in. And I think go ahead. Sorry.
Well, it's like you said too, they humanize both sides.
Right.
It's not just like you know, where you get to one side and you see glimpses of the bad guy and you're like, oh, the bad guy, you know, but you actually see, I mean, they capture the one guy and he's on their side and at first he's just, you know, you want to hate him, but then they really empathize with him. And then, you know, that it goes back and forth and then you get to see, you know, it's really cool. I like how they do that.
Yeah. You're talking about Lincoln, who's kind of like a man without a country. He's the, he's like he's, I guess, an anti-hero in a sense. Mm-hmm. But like there's a scene where, the kid who had kind of like established himself as kind of the sensitive one, the Joker, like he ends up, like having a romantic relationship with the lead, character Clark. And like, you find out that he's got another girl on the ship and he was actually in jail just to help her out, that kind of thing. He ends up just losing his mind at one point and just going Vietnam on this entire village. It was just harrowing just to watch that, you know, and you had to deal with this idea that, okay, now he's the monster. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You just dealt with this just entire, I've seen tons and tons of stories that are kind of like that. You know, like it happened in, you know, in comic books all the time where this person was a superhero. Now he's not, you know, now he's a bad guy and that kind of thing, just to keep the dynamic of the story going. But never really, you really got invested in Finn. He's the character that, you know, that he's that sensitive. And I think this show kind of highlights why I like the post-apocalyptic genre in general. And that is how it forces you to work in gray areas all the time.
Yeah.
It's almost never black and white. I think with, like in Fury Road, you get a little bit more black and white with Furiosa.
Yeah.
Like, she's definitely good.
Yeah.
But, and I guess to some extent Mad Max is as well. He's more practical than anything, but also he's mad. Like, there's clearly something wrong with him. But like, you always end up in grays. A Boy and His Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the protagonist there? Is it the kid who has his dog, you know, use his mind, you know, or his telepathy to find women for him? Is that the protagonist? Yeah. I don't know.
In 1975, I guess, whatever that was, that came out.
Weren't we all doing that back then?
Yeah, I mean, all of us.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think... The 100 kind of really highlights that. And what's also interesting is you get introduced to a number of different types of societies that get highlighted in general and in post-apocalyptic, like the dystopian society, like the men in the mountain, like the gray men in the mountain.
Yeah.
The mountain men. That is the classic dystopian society where they've justified these terrible, terrible deeds in order to help their tribe survive. Like, you don't know what the grounders did to them at any point. The mountain men just happened to be the ones that got into Mount Weather and closed themselves off. So they survived that way. However, but it also made them sensitive to the radiation. So any radiation would just wipe them out.
Yeah.
Whereas the grounders are a lot tougher. However, the more you watch these mountain men, when you see them in the mountain, they seem really happy. They're just surrounded by art. Like, you have this contrast of like all these colors and stuff, and you go out into the grounder world and everything's like drab greens and grays and browns. You go back into the mountain, everything's like brass and all gilded. So right off the bat, you know, like, this is corrupt, something's wrong here. Or like, they have these rooms that are like these sterile white rooms, like the quarantine rooms where they would keep people that they actually want to help, right? But in meanwhile, they're just doing these god awful things to the grounders. They're bombing them with missiles. They're releasing this acidic fog, into their mist to kind of control them. They're going into their mist sniping them, and they'll zap them, kidnap them, bring them into their mountain. Well, under their mountain, I should say, and just torture them, and then give them this really awful drug that turns them into monsters. They call them Reapers.
Yeah.
Which, if anybody followed, Firefly, it's basically that. They're just crazy people who will do anything to get the drugs. So that kind of gives you an idea of these, but you go into their world and there's people who are nice.
Yeah.
There's wonderful people in there.
It's like even they are seen as, it's a gray area. Like you said, it's not black and white. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And in even the difference between the 100 and the people that remained on the Ark, the adults, or I don't know if you want to call them adults, just people who haven't broke the law yet.
Yeah.
That's like a very contentious, like us versus them. Like we came down here. We found out there were people here. We learned to survive and you didn't. And eventually they come down too. So, and like, I think as the season, you get into the second season, it gets a little bit more complex. I wouldn't say complicated. I was able to follow it pretty well, through the whole thing. And there was it's a lot of character, story arcs as well, but
oh yeah, yeah. That's the thing too, is I think I got a little lost toward the end there, because if you don't pay attention 100%, it's one of those that you can get lost, if you don't know, because it's like you said, there's always the survivors on the Ark who came down versus this group, and then the 100 is versus this group, and then the 100 actually is friends with the grounders, and they're right against the Ark people, and it's just, yeah, it's kind of back and forth. But I think that it's exactly like you said, and I think you've said it really well, that it's more about, it's wrapped in this post-apocalyptic shell, which works really well. It has to be a part of the story, but it's also so much more about politics and the drama and the way that the different groups play. It's something that I think has never really been done. But at the same time, like you also said, that it's been done in parts, but never together,
Well, it's like, again, like a lot of post-apocalyptic movies or books or something. It really, at its core, it's about human nature and what we become, right?
Yeah.
One of my favorite types of post-apocalyptic stories is not the one like the natural disaster, like the earthquake or the volcano or stuff like that. Those are fun for their own purposes, but that's more spectacle, right?
Yeah.
Because those are always the lead up to those things, and you just get to see like the heart of humanity, how we all pitch in together and we do our best to survive what nature's rage is doing to us. But that's all well and good, but I love the stories where it's basically like that we're doing this to ourselves. We are acting despite our natural urge to survive. We're just making all these moves that just flies in the face of common sense and cavemen. Like cavemen would just look at us and go, "Why you do?" You know what I mean? Because you're basically killing yourselves. You're doing the opposite of guaranteeing the survival of your species. And so like the nuclear war, our attempts to heal something, and it ends up turning people into zombies. And I even like the surprising ones like Snowpiercer. Like when I first saw that, I was like, oh, it's one of these stupid Ice Age ones. I was really prepared to hate it, except that I love choo-choo trains. Excuse me. And of course, who doesn't love Ed Harris? But what it came down to was it was just this weird double blind like climate change thing. Mm-hmm. And when I first was starting to get it, I'm like, oh, it's just, it's like your standard, like, liberal C, you know, climate change is true. And I'm like, yeah, it is true. Maybe this is, kind of an extreme. And then I'm like, no, wait, it's a double conservative blind where we actually saw that it was true and we started making all these machines to fix it.
Yeah.
And that's what ruined it. Yeah. And then I started hating myself. But that's a great movie.
I was just going to say, did you like, I love that movie.
Yeah, it's great. I didn't even want to hate that. Yeah. And even some like The Colony, like, that's another one, but you don't really know what happened there, but, it's still, again, it's like, what happened to us? Like, you know, look what we've become.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing I like about the post-apocalyptic genre is that we just ignore our better, like, or our natural urge to survive as a species, and we just justify our way into actually ending up like cavemen, right?
Yeah.
Like that we've just, because of something we did to ourselves, we devolve into probably something that's going to be more likely to survive. Right.
You know, I think about that all the time, actually. It's funny you bring that up because, you know, you see movies like this or you see movies where people kind of take charge and the world has ended. So they just do what they have to do. And I think, would people actually do that? Like our generation, and not our generation, but like the current state of humanity at this point, it just seems like, and this is maybe getting too political, but, it seems like if the world were to end, there would be a whole lot of people who would just sit around and wait for somebody to save them, you know, and they wouldn't just take charge and do anything about it. But maybe that would be the survivors there would be the ones who actually would take charge, and the rest of them are not so much going to die from nuclear radiation, but just die from waiting around, you know, for something to happen.
Like Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could definitely see that. And again, that's kind of the important part of why they make that 97 in the 197 years in the future, because you miss all that part. Like those people who were part of the apocalypse, who were there in that, you know, that, you know, when the bombs dropped, like they're not that important. They had a plan.
Yeah.
You know, their plan was to get away. And they executed that plan, or they didn't and they died, or they didn't and they found a way to somehow survive. They found a hole that they went into, or they found the vault, you know?
Yeah.
And they hid in there and they were able and they flourished, right? In a world gone mad or in the sky gone mad, because that, like, you miss a whole part of the story that they kind of flash back into in the 100, where you see like what's going on in the arc, you know, like the second generation of kids, how they, well, they're adults now, right? So how they're dealing with their current problems, right? They have tradition, but also things are changing.
And you know it's a flashback because of the lens flare.
Right, exactly.
The extreme lens flare.
And it's lighter. Things are whiter. Like, because when you flash forward, everything's all dirty and gritty, like Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
That's how you know when you're in the present, because the present is not awesome. The past is awesome.
Yeah.
Or at
retrospect.
Yes, exactly.
Hindsight is always 20/20. Any other cliche things I can say?
Probably a couple more.
You know, and what's funny too is shows like this, if you look back, you look at the last episode and you look back at the first episode, even in just two seasons, it's there's a world of difference. And you're just like, wow, I remember way back. I mean, it's only 29 episodes total, but things were so, they went through so much, you know, in those 29 episodes. It's kind of like Lost. You know, did you ever watch Lost?
I never watched Lost.
Oh, man. Well, I don't remember how many seasons there were. There were like 13 or whatever. It was just a ton of seasons. But
something like
from the beginning, it was like, oh, they crashed on an island. It's going to be a survivor show. It's going to be about how they're going to survive. And at the end, it's basically just, it's like X-Files, you know?
Right.
Which I'm not complaining about, but it's just totally different. It's a completely different show. So I think that that's, I like when shows do that as long as it goes in the right direction, or I guess the direction that I agree with.
Right.
But I think that the 100 did that in just a short period of time, which is why it was so intense.
Right. And they definitely kept going. Like they went into a direction that felt natural, but it was still surprising.
Yeah.
To me anyway. Like, I knew that the people that they captured and brought into the mountains, like, cause they needed to get their blood. They were going to find people in there that were like, that were good. You know what I mean? That wanted to help other people, that looked beyond like the other. Now it's fair to say they all looked alike, you know, right? I mean, like, so that helped. The grounders were vastly different looking than everybody else. Like they were
reapers, especially.
Yeah. When they were reapers for sure. But the grounders were like, they were like the Celts. Like they were something out of, like the green places in Guild Wars. Like they were all painted up. They had these awesome, brutal looking masks. Like I was really impressed with the costuming for the grounders. That blew me away. Like they really looked intimidating. Like you knew these were like just regular people. Now, granted, I think they had their warriors out mostly. That's what you saw to begin with, like the protectors. And again, that was just you had to admit, these grounders were just protecting themselves, you know, from something they knew nothing about.
Sky people.
The sky people.
Yeah.
And more sky people.
Yeah. And you know, we're talking about the scenes that were kind of shocking. And you know, the one where they floated all those people and they showed it from the ground. You remember that? You know what I'm talking about? They floated. I forgot. Was that the 300? After they died?
No, so what was that was that no one got floated there. What that was when there was the previous chancellor. Remember I was telling you about all like the intrigue that was going on kind of in the beginning? Well, it involved the previous chancellor who was that made an assassination attempt on the current chancellor. Spoiler alert. And all of that was like so they could work out a way to get their people into this escape pod, like this big escape pod. And somehow they managed to get it done. And whenever they launched out, it just kind of crapped the bed, as things do. And it exploded and all these bodies just like...
And the crazy thing about that, what I thought the crazy thing about that was when they showed it. And, you know, they show, like, from the ground, they show all these, like, sparkling, it looks like glitter in the sky, and people are like, what's that? And they're like,
And somebody was, like, shooting stars or something, or a meteor storm. Like, it was almost like a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought that was one of the kind of turning points for me too when I saw that, and I was like, wow, I can't believe that they really the writer sat down and thought, what would it look like if bodies were burning up in the atmosphere, you know, like a whole bunch of them from the ground, like what would that look like? Let's do that.
I don't know like the exact number of people that were that like piled themselves into that that escape pod, but it was supposed to be meant for quite a few people. And and just like the scene that led up to that was just heartrending because you just saw the folly of mankind there. Like it was violent, but it was civilly violent, and like you were just kind of disgusted. Like you're just like there's no emotion here. It's you just want to come out on top. You want to be the ones to win, as opposed to like the reality is like this is a game of survival. This is not like to see who wins the horse race. This is about like this entire human race surviving. And of course, they in many ways they didn't know there was another there was more human race, you know, more humans alive. That kind of baffled me a little bit that it, you know, they kind of entertained the notion that people survived, but mostly they were just like, just make sure, see if we can't survive down there, because you're going to be alone. There's going to be nobody there.
Yeah.
They must not have seen any other post-apocalyptic movies where there's always like fish people and two-headed deer.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Which was, I think, still kind of odd seeing the mutated, like that was that still kind of like weirded me out when you would see like Blinky the three-eyed fish popping his head out of the water. You're like, oh god.
Yeah, that was a nice touch.
Yeah, it was unsettling.
Yeah. I think too that the when I was describing it on the last episode, and when I was on drugs, and I think I said that it was like Star Trek meets Mad Max, and what did you say? It was more like Stargate, or
Stargate universe, I guess.
Yeah,
like if you were gonna compare it to any kind of star thing, it was
something with star in the name.
Exactly. Yeah, if I were to do that, if a gun was put to my head and I needed to compare it to a star thing, it would be Starman. And but yeah, like just the like that. I don't know. Their Stargate universe is what I was talking about. Not Stargate universe was like a darker, imagining, like a darker vision of the Stargate story, where they're on this alien ship that's like flying through the galaxy from one planet to the other, and presumably there's a Stargate on that planet, and you could take the Stargate that's inside the ship to that Stargate, and that's where their adventures would be.
Yeah.
Right? Not just one Stargate. They'd had like a million Stargates, and they never finished the series, so you didn't know exactly where the Ancients were going, because it's like it was basically the Ancients taxi or Uber. Like they just, because nobody knows what a taxi is now.
And but they know what Uber is.
They know what an Uber.
Yeah.
It's a verb. We're going to Uber there.
Yeah. That's true. But,
So it was kind of, it was more like that. It wasn't like that at all.
It was a touch of that.
It's a little bit of that. It was dark like that, yeah.
Okay. And it wasn't really like Mad Max either. I don't know. I mean, it was...
Well, I liked how you called the Grounders all the Mad Max people.
Yeah.
That was the great... Like there was a race of Mad Max.
Just Mad Maxes. Just a bunch of Rockatanskis. Yeah. I get that from when I was younger. We used to play with G.I. Joe, you know, the figures.
Right.
And then we would take the vehicles apart and we would call it Mad Maxing it.
Oh, yeah. You would like, like tape things onto it. Yeah, I did that. Totally.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, let's Mad Max this. Let's Mad Max that. And then we'd Mad Max our bikes. And so it was a verb to us, you know.
Yeah, it made sense.
Yeah.
Mad Maxing things. That's great. Mad Max my credit card. Now I have to live in the desert. Thank you, folks. I'm here all week.
Well, what would you say is, did you like the progression of it into season two? Like, did you feel that it kind of continued naturally?
Well, that was my impression anyway. The whole season two was really the story arc of the Mountain Men, right?
Yeah. And,
the members of the 100 being trapped in there. The story of the other sky people coming down and having to deal with not only their own, like the people that they abandon, the 100, and coming to terms with that they are older now and that they're the experts on this world. They're really more qualified to be leaders than the leaders. And then dealing with the Grounders. And having to, like, be convinced by the 100 that these guys are serious. You know, you may have guns, it can mow down a bunch, but there's a lot of them, a lot more than us, and they're just going to overwhelm us and just completely obliterate us. So, yeah. And the 100 dealt with them at one point and got a lot of respect. Like when I say respect, like notorious respect from a one scene when they were being, they got surrounded by grounders and they had set up this perimeter and the 100 just piled into the ship. And you think at that time, you're like, oh, they're just going to stay there until what? Well, what they do is they stay there until they actually set these explosives, like these really intense explosives underneath the ship and launch it like a rocket, but just a little bit and just completely just decimate all the grounders, like all the grounders that came to fight. And anybody who escaped just had like, you know, they're probably like PTSD till the end of their days after this. And like Clark and like Clark's face, like the main character's face was just like, they associate that scene with her. So you can't walk away from that and go like, oh, we don't take those people seriously. No, you know, this person just took out an entire army in one shot and no one walked away. So now you have the Skylanders have to, like the adults have to deal with these teenagers that grew up super fast and have an advantage on this world over them. And then seeing what the 100 will do to save their own, right? So the second season really solidified those teenagers that were sent down to Earth as a tribe unto their own, right? They're all these factions, these groups that splintered apart early on, come together and combine their strengths, right? There's the character Bellamy, who seems to have like a really good sense of making plans. Like he knows. And he's a very, very brave person. And you have Clark, who just makes decisions. She's the great decider, you know? And that was a terrible George Bush impression, by the way. And you're like, I didn't even know what that was.
That's how terrible it was.
That's how bad it was. But like, and then like, so having them go in, you find out someone who's really good with gadgets and so like a great mechanic, like they all work together to save the people inside the mountain. And at the end, even more Holocaust happens.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just brutal. And they still manage to deal with that awful thing pretty well. It's not as good, but it's still harrowing. Like you're like, cause people that they love, they learn to love are dead. You know, and it's just absolutely brutal.
Well, that brings up the point. We know that there's going to be a season 3.
Yeah.
So
what's left?
Yeah, what's left? What are they going to do? Is it going to be like Son of the 100?
Well, that's the interesting thing is that now you have the end of that season brought in a new element. Mm-hmm. Right. Now you didn't finish watching.
Yeah, I didn't finish. So I don't
but
know
there, there's a there, you need to watch the second season the whole way through, and yeah, and you'll catch this second element. It's kind of cool. Now how it's going to fit into the grand, I can't even begin to understand.
Yeah.
Yet. So hopefully they bring it all together. Hopefully they don't suffer from like the third season like slump.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's a phenomenon. I probably made that up, but it sounds like I'm an old industry vet, and I know about these things. But yeah, I the second season's definitely worth watching. I had binge watched the first season. The second season was running, so I just rolled right over into it and just kept watching. You know, without missing a beat, and like just picked it up as it was. You know, and I made a point to continue watching it with each new episode coming out, and that's big deal for me. I don't typically do. I usually have like the 1 year rule for most things. You know, give it a chance to for somebody else to form an opinion so I can adopt it.
Yeah, well, that's the great thing again about Netflix, yeah. You know, is you can like, that's how we watch Breaking Bad. If we, like, we missed, you know, years of that, right. Never watched it, and then everybody's talking about it, and we're like, oh, let's watch it, and then we sat down and watched like two seasons. And
how are you still a human being after that? Like, we watched three seasons of that, and we're just like, what does it all matter? You know, why does all this matter? We're just gonna end up dying in a pool of our own vomit anyway. Like, it was so depressing. Like, we just couldn't take that.
Yeah, we watched that, and then I think we watched Dexter after that.
Oh my God.
And then I started watching American Horror Story. So, like, all of that, it's just, I mean, I should be a murderer right now. I should just, well, I might be. You just might,
yeah, it's not. Well, or you could be a hero if this was Mad
Full
Max.
Full circle, yeah. Yeah.
If this was you would be a, I mean, and we don't need another hero.
Oh, there it is.
There it is. I just gave you your ending. I hope not. That's not the last thing I want people to hear me say. So that's really about the understanding I have of the 100. I think we pretty much discussed that to death, and probably more so. It's not like a it's not War and Peace, even though I kind of make it out to be like that it's this deep thing. It's just happened to be. I think it's just a matter of it surprised me. Like it yeah. Like that what I actually managed to get out of that show surprised the heck out of me. And maybe for some people it's like, yeah, of course that's what that was, and it's you're getting a lot more interesting shows and stories coming out of the CW lately. So
yeah, well, wasn't that like their number one show of all time or something like that, like with the rating wise?
See, I had just claimed I was a veteran in the industry, but I can't tell you if that's true or not. Is that true?
I think so. I could look on the wiki page, but
well, that's how I found out about this show. It's all been a big sham.
You're just reading straight from the wiki.
Hell, I was reading your wiki page just to figure out who you were.
Oh man. I think it was one of their. Yeah, this wiki page has a bunch of things about the reception and like different reviews, and some of these I think are pretty interesting. Like it says, this guy from the Boston Globe says, our attraction to apocalypse TV runs deep as our culture plays out different futuristic possibilities. There's still no reason to clone material, nor is it a reason to deliver characters who are little more than stereotypes. I don't know if he's saying that there's little more than stereotypes in the show, or if he's saying that it's a good thing they didn't do that.
It's hard to say. Like, I can even see what he's talking about. There's definitely some archetypes in there. They may be in packages you don't expect. Like Clark, is the package of like the Spock type, you know, like the just all logic. Although she was a mess. To be honest with you, my wife and I most of the time spent the time just like, just kill her, you know, or her mother, like her mother. We were just like, just die. You know, like, but you know, that's just drama, right?
Yeah.
You know, if a show just affects you so viscerally, you know, clearly there's something to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, hopefully that guy was it. He's probably just jaded. I mean, anybody who has like that many opinions about that many shows, you know what I mean? They should probably move on to some other media, like read a book. You know what I mean?
Well, I think also, superficially, the show is it's kind of hard to explain, which is one reason I wanted to do this whole episode, because mm-hmm. it's hard to explain in, you know, five words or less, but it's superficially it seems like a young adult show you know, where you're expecting vampires and stuff like that.
Oh,
other show on CW, you know.
I was fully expecting, like, the Stephanie Myers treatment, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, exactly. There would be, like, Team Clark. Are you in Team Bethany?
Yeah. And another one of these reviews here kind of sums that up. It's from The Hollywood Reporter, and it says, this woman says, the sci-fi drama presents the CW's ultimate vision for humanity, an Earth populated only by attractive teenagers whose parents are left out in space. Now,
I'm not a good judge of attraction, but if you saw some of those kids.
Especially the grounders, they were not attractive.
Yeah, some of them, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I saw the guy who plays Lincoln this year at Dragon Con.
He was there?
Yeah, he was a hunk. Like, well, a lot of people were there. Like, the kid who was supposedly like the gadget guy. I forgot his name. He was there, and I think there was a couple of more. I thought Bellamy, like the.
Oh.
The one male lead, I thought he was there at some point. We went to the panel at the end, like on Monday. They had a panel on Monday, and Michelle and I just happened to be leaving later, and we went there with another friend, and we watched them talk. It was great.
Yeah, didn't they have one every day?
Like, yes.
Yeah, I wanted to see one of those. I missed one.
Oh, yeah, that was a bummer. Like, because I think they had one every day, and the Arrow had one every day.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't watch all these, man. Like, that's the bad thing about Dragon Con. It's exhausting trying to. It's a lot of shiny there.
But what's cool, though, is they have. Like, I'm actually surprised they had Bellamy. I was going to ask if they actually had someone from the 100. Usually,
I
want to
say Clark was there as well.
Oh, wow. Because, like, Dragon Con, like, you would expect with the 100, Dragon Con is kind of like the B and C star, so it would be like the 200, maybe, or the 300, like the others in the background.
The ones that died.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, or like that little, oh, man, there was some seated there with this little girl who's, like, killed the one, the Chancellor's son. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was just messed up.
That was. Another example of how they kind of pushed some some boundaries there, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was like, I saw that, like, just that little snick, and I'm like, I need a moment, you know, just to kind of deal with that.
See, what you need to do is watch Breaking Bad, and then American Horror Story and Dexter all together, and then it'll just cure you of all that.
Well, I mean, then, you throw in The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
That right there, you know. Again, a lot of these shows are just, like, all about, like, we're the monsters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of those now where the horror is just the backdrop to highlight the things we do to each other in times of stress and in times where resources, whatever those resources are scarce, you know, and sometimes it's incredibly negative. Like it highlights the worst of us. And I gotta admit, I like that, you know what I mean? Like, I like that, but I also like, I like to occasionally see the opposite of that in that horror. Like, the example I always think of is Waterworld. Hmm. And a lot of people think that in that story, Kevin Costner, of course, is the protagonist, right? He's the one that's making these right decisions. But what the hell is he doing for humanity? He is just taking advantage of being a fish guy and flying around in a kite and using himself as bait. He's not doing anything and drinking his own pee, which we all would do that, I think, if given the opportunity. However, Dennis Hopper's character is trying to, like, eke out a living in this world, trying to, like, like, he has a society that he's trying to lead. I don't know what he's trying to lead them to, but he is trying to provide for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have, like, these pie-in-the-sky fantasies. he's realistic, you know, and maybe I'm just giving him a lot, you know, that character a lot more credit. And I'm pretty sure I'm giving the movie a lot more credit than it deserves, but I'm one of those people that actually like that shit.
That's pretty much Dennis Hopper's character in every movie.
Isn't it though?
Yeah. He's just,
what's
like Apocalypse Now and
what's the,
Speed maybe. No.
What's the rule? First rule in a hostage situation. Shoot the hostage.
Yeah, and you know what I found, and I think actually the 100 does this. Maybe I'm looking too deeply into this, but it seems like it's always this. Yeah, it's always this. I don't know, like this whole where you were saying, where they start out like, you know, who's the monster, and then you find out that the upper echelon is actually the monster,
right?
And it's almost like this. This metaphor for America and all of these, you know, it's like you start out and you just, you know, the ones who escaped basically with the 100, they escaped, they sought new lands, and then it turns out that they just kind of couldn't handle it, you know, and they kind of fall apart.
Right.
And it's like, I'm kind of tired of that. Like, I don't know. You see that in a lot of shows where Sarah and I have this thing, my wife, we have this thing where we watch these movies and they pull out something that is so quote unquote unexpected that it's actually really expected. So we're always like, oh, you wouldn't expect that, you know?
Yeah.
Like having the woman be the strong one. It's like, no, like we're past that. Like stop trying to make it seem like we're not expecting that because it's, you know, this is 1960, you know? Yeah.
It's inevitably going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, when this stuff happens and it's always like, you wouldn't expect that person to be like that. And right. It's like,
well, and the 100 kind of deals with that issue as well.
Yeah.
Where you see like there's the bad boy, right?
Yeah.
But he's sensitive in a sense because his whole existence, like where he is, that is because of his sister. His sister was one of those second children.
Yeah.
Right. And they use flashbacks to kind of like help you understand why Bellamy's character or Bellamy is the way he is. And it was all just to protect his sister, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he's an incredibly strong and brave person. He's not stupid, but like, when you first meet him, he feels like a bully.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of he thing. Was.
But most of that kind of seemed to have stemmed from, he's the first one to say like, look, we're free. We don't actually have to do what they tell us to do, yeah. You know, where everybody else was like, but, you know, we got to do.
And but he's mom like, said.
Yeah, exactly. And he's being reasonable. He's like, look, they put us in jail. They saw us as expendable. Yeah. Most of these people in jail, these children are in jail for maybe stealing something or spitting on the sidewalk when one of the commanders were walking by. You know, so he was definitely the rational person, even though his outward behavior was not like, well, by TV standards, he was not, that wasn't acceptable. That was bully behavior in a sense. But mostly, I mean, he didn't treat anybody bad. He just said like, don't do what she tells you. And Clark's being kind of controlling, you know what I mean? Like, no, we were told we got to do this. And he's like, no, you don't. And now everybody throw away your bracelets. Kind of thing. So they really played with the gender roles a bit, and they just kept swapping around.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they did kind of keep it, you know, like Bellamy surprised you every once in a while with his sensitivity, and sometimes they had to force the issue with flashbacks and stuff. And Clark would, she was kind of made out to be the sensitive character at the beginning, and throughout she's just throwing drama every once in a while, just like because she had spent her life doing what she was told. She ended up in jail, but she still kept doing what she was told. But she would have like these bursts of you know, rebellion, and it was always in an extreme method, you know, using an extreme method and stuff like that. So I think they kind of kept it fresh. I mean, I'm sure there could be an argument against that. I haven't watched it in a while, so there's rose colored glasses as well.
That was my point with that review, that negative review, because it seems like they based that review off the first episode.
Right. But that was the episode I was like, I don't know about.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, everyone pretty much went insane by the end. I mean, they pretty, like you said, you know, Finn lost it. Clark lost it. Bellamy, you know, turned into a different person. Even his sister Octavia, she lost it at the end, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess midway through the second season, I don't know whatever happened to her, but she just, like she just turned into a, did she go with the Reapers or the Grounders?
So she decided that she wanted to become a warrior. Like, so people are, you know, people are trying to find their identity in this new world. And that's what she decided she wanted to be, because she, obviously, there was a little bit of Stockholm syndrome, because she was captured, I guess, or saved by Lincoln. One of those things. So in that way, there was, you know, you could see how that could happen. It made sense. Hmm. But yeah, so like, and she would, you know, she wanted to become a grounder warrior, and by the end, she was kind of accepted, I believe.
Yeah,
you know. So.
It's the face makeup she had on. I mean, it's just, you couldn't even tell.
Yeah, in the shaved side of the head.
I'll
tell you what. Can't resist a woman with a shaved side of the head.
It's true. All right, well, we should probably wrap this up, because we could have just, like, someone could have just watched all two seasons by the time we talked about all this.
and then just realized that wasn't at all what this was about.
Then somebody's going to write in, and we'll have to have them on the next show to really tell us.
That MASH guy just basically described the, you know, the plot to 2001 MASHed with Dune.
That's why they call you MASH, right?
That's what I do. Well, let me just thank you for inviting me on here to talk about this. I know at the end of the day, this was just some Machiavellian way of keeping your enemies closer, as I made fun of you. But I'll pull him on the show.
No, I really was kind of like, when I was doing the editing and I went back and I listened to it, I'm like, what was I talking about? Like, I mean, sometimes we record this late and I'm just like, I'm sleeping at that point, I think. But yeah, I mean, I didn't get anyone, no one emailed, no one said anything about how wrong I was. And then, you know, I've known you for a couple of years, and you know, we hang out at DragonCon every year and everything. So you're not afraid to just be like, Sean, what is your deal? So I'm like, you know what? He's right. We should talk about it, because it's a post-apocalyptic show, and it's current. And the, you know, like I said, the second season is coming out, has just come out on Netflix. So it's a really, I think it's a good time to talk about it. I mean, there are so many shows out there we could talk about, but the timing is, you know, it's usually only good for a certain little window. And I think, you know, for the 100, I mean, season 3 is going to be next year. And, I think it's a good time to talk about it before, you know, maybe if someone hasn't gotten into it, or here was my biggest concern, is I think that people may have looked at it or looked at these reviews and said, this looks like a stupid show, but it's actually not.
Right.
And so that's why I wanted to talk about it, you know.
Well, time will tell with the third season. Yeah. I think that's going to be, that's going to be an important season. The way they ended the second one, it could go all wrong.
I trust you on that, because I don't know how they ended the second season.
well, you will, hopefully, soon.
Yeah. Tonight, I'm going to go on Netflix. No. I'm going to go to bed after this.
me too. I gotta get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up then. If anyone wants to send an email, send it to ttaftermath@gmail.com. There actually are a few emails on there that I keep meaning to read, and maybe we'll do that next show with Jonathan. But also check out the website throughtheaftermath.com, and it goes to our WordPress page it's a Blogspot page with you know, all the show notes, where I'll link to the 100 on here, and then you know, all that good stuff. And you can check out our Facebook page, where we always have discussions, especially right now with Fallout 4 just came out. There's some great discussions on there about that. That's probably our most active place is our Facebook page. But, yeah. So that's us. That's it from us. So until next time, this is Sean.
And this is Mash.
Saying.
Stay alive out there.
Oh, look at that. Oh, Jonathan's going to be so jealous.
Oh, no.
He's going to kill you now, I think.
it would be my honor.